Welcome back to 95 BFM Breakfast. I was lucky enough to have a chat with Barry Saunders from the Waratahs yesterday, as they're set to be inducted into the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame. That's really exciting for them. Great band. They've been everywhere.
Legendary.
Everywhere from Northland to Bluff, these guys. And they've been rocking out for years now. So it was really nice to catch up with music legend Barry. Let's hear that chat now.
If it's very echoey, it's because I'm in the Hall of Fame. it's very lonely in here.
I thought I guess I'd start off by asking you the main question. How does it feel to be inducted into the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame?
Well, I have to say it feels pretty good because it comes from your pals mostly, your peers, to use that word, it's hard to know how it feels. I mean, it comes with love, and that's sort of these things are always a bit funny, but they come with good money,
If you had to do like three words to describe how it feels,
good, better, and better, good.
Let's go back to the very start of the Waratahs, how you got together and kind of your touring journey of New Zealand and making music.
All right, well, we got together in Wellington, and we lived in Mount Victoria, in a little place in Brown Street in Mount Victoria, and then I had wanted to get a sort of a country folky-based band together for a long time and tried, when I lived in Sydney and then for a little while when I lived in Auckland. And then things just sort of clicked. We had the right people around. We had, acoustic piano and stuff like that and in the flat. And then we started at the Cricketers one Thursday night. At the Cricketers Arms down here, which was a music venue, and it really went from there, and it was right from the very start, even though we were just playing covers mostly, just playing songs about, early country songs and stuff, it clicked right from the very start. It was obvious that we had a sound, And then Nick joined on the violin, and violin wasn't very common in a band then. And so we were kind of different,
Did you have a love of country music your whole life?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I grew up with it. My parents, I grew up first at Taranaki and then at Lincoln College. My father ran the farm at Lincoln College. And they were big, big fans of country music. Early John Cash and people like that. Because country music was sort of pop music when they were young, It wasn't necessarily called country music, All those songs like Walk the Line and everything, they were sort of on the radio,
Yeah, they were just and songs.
They were just songs, yeah. And in actual fact, some people ask me if we're a country band even. I usually say, well, we're actually a song band sort of dressed up, and not in country clothes, but a country sort of instrumentation vibe,
When you started as a Waratahs playing, country covers at the Cricketers Arms, did you ever think you would end up here?
No, it was never. We thought, I just got a band together for 3 weeks or something to play songs, those early Hank Williams songs and stuff like that I've always loved, no, I had no thoughts of that at all. And then things sort of, it was like a sort of a tumbleweed, it gathered sort of stuff and rolled along. We recorded our first single, Hands in the Heart, and put it out. And then we thought, we'll go to South for a tour. And we didn't know, communication wasn't what it is now. There's no mobile phones or anything like that. And we had no idea that we were getting so much airplay, you know, around the country, particularly in the South Island. And then we sort of went out there and people knew about us. It was really weird. It was great. It was wonderful. But it was a surprise, that's for sure.
It must have come as some sort of quite a shock to realise how fast spread you'd become.
Yeah, it was. And then we signed up with Pagan in Auckland, through the Ricky's Pagan Records, and you know, suddenly things were sort of, we had a situation, you know, we had a record out and a song, we had an album out and the touring situation, you know, and you know, it was great. It was a really exciting time. It was so organic, is the word. It came from the bottom up, you know.
Beautiful. All these situations arising for you.
Yeah. And then, of course, we did that first tour, lasted 8 years. We just went out the door and virtually never came back. And then we sort of hit the wall, you know. It just got not to be fun. We were unbelievably fatigued and tired, and we just done too many miles, you know, so we fell over for a bit, and then we started playing, you know, in a different sort of a way, you know, which became a bit more we just didn't go out there all the time, you know.
Yeah, a bit more sustainable.
Yeah, a bit more sustainable. Yeah, that's the word.
Eight years is incredible, Barry. How did you stay on the road for that long?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I loved it. We did love it. We were actually natural travellers, you know.
Mm.
And the music travelled really well. And of course, when people are really receptive to you, it's just fantastic going town to town, you know. But then after a while, it didn't wear off, but it was tiring, you know, and we made an album that we weren't too wild about, and so we sort of we pulled it up for a bit, and then we toured with Sam Hunt, who's a good friend of mine. We did a year's worth of stuff with him.
It's quite country of you to be travelling that far, you know, with your music, just playing songs.
Yeah. I mean, when you read books of early artists in America, you know, that's all they did. They just sort of, and they still do. I mean, artists in America, you know, do 200 days a year on the road, you know, in a bus. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no, not at this stage as well.
No. And, you know, there's still people that really do that. Like my friend Adam McGrath, he's got that sort of thing, you know, take it to the people thing, which I love him for, you know.
And I guess now you're in the Music Hall of Fame, people will just come to you for the tunes, I reckon.
Hopefully. That's a good concept. I'm not sure you know that.
Don't have to travel anymore, Barry.
Yeah.
Of those 8 years on the road, you've probably played a very range of places. What is, like, one of the craziest stories you'd feel comfortable sharing on air?
Oh, God. Crazy story. I'm trying to think of a crazy story, you know, like, but it's things like playing in the high country of the South Island, you know, and people taking you in, but we forgot our gear and left it in Oamaru, and they took us in a helicopter to go and get it. And so, you know, it's stuff that probably most musicians wouldn't be doing, you know what I mean?
I guess you do it for the love of music, eh?
Well, we did it because it was just what we were doing at the moment. It was like some mad adventure, you know what I mean? Most of the gigs were really, really good, you know. We played long gigs in those days too, you know. And so we really sort of cut our teeth. But not, I mean, we haven't done anything really super crazy, you know. We haven't sort of, I don't know, whatever people do. Not that I can talk about anyway.
Yeah, and, this is folk and country, not rock and roll.
Yeah. We toured Australia a bit. That was good. And we still got a good following in Australia. You know, Sydney and Melbourne and North New South Wales. That was good. And yeah, we met all sorts of people. You know, Paul Kelly and all those sort of people. And you know, mixed it up with them, you know, it was great. You know?
What advice do you have for young and upcoming musicians in New Zealand?
I'd say do it for yourself first. Make music that makes you happy. You don't necessarily make it for money or to please anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use it to talk.
That is solid advice, Barry.
The only advice I can make up, having just got out of bed.
Could be the time to change my. Maybe find some peace at last. 'Cause I keep on turning to some world that we once knew. And I can see it fading fast. She wanna show. The love.